All right, good evening, everybody. Okay, it's great to see you all again. We were here, I believe, about 2 years ago, right? And time really flies, doesn't it? And I know lots have happened in our lives and perhaps also in yours. But we arrived yesterday, and both our kids came with us. So our kids are now at a different place than they were 2 years ago. 2 years ago, David wasn't baptized, our second, but 2 years later, as in right now, he's already 6 months old as a Christian. Amen. So, Sonia is now 3 years old as a Christian. So, everybody made it into the ark. Amen. And we plan to stay in the ark. All right, okay? So, that's just a great thing. We're very, very excited to be in London, obviously. We're going to be here for about 3 weeks, going to various sectors and all that. On the 15th till the 23rd, our core group, the group that really leads the entire region, they're also going to be here. So to try and help out in whatever ways that they're able to. So that's a good thing, because I want you to be able to meet them as well. Of course, to lead a region that size, we have now about 4,300 disciples, over 20 churches. We just sent out 3 churches this year. With all that it takes a team, as you all know. So I just want you to be able to meet up with them, and we're very, very excited to, just help out in whatever ways we can. So our primary reason for coming here is to actually get with the leaders and inspire them and help the London church to go forward, okay? But also, it's one thing to help out with the leaders. We also want to spend time and talk about things that can affect everybody else as well, okay? So we thought about this. This was one of the things that was proposed, and this is a series that we've done across our region. It's gone very, very well. In Singapore, when we had this, we made it such a big thing, and we have about 500 marrieds in our church. And we had we had about 1,000 people come and just to hear about movie therapy. We were even featured in our local TV, okay, in both Jakarta and in Singapore. So people are catching on to this. We went over to Jakarta as well and in KL and did the same thing, and hundreds of people are coming. And the exciting thing is this: from all the visitors, we are having baptisms. And so many people right now are coming to our church because they know if they come to this church, then they're going to be empowered with skills on how to improve their marriages. Amen. We have a similar program here on parenting as well. And that's a much longer one, and we won't be doing it this time around, perhaps at another time. We have something on marriage, something on parenting, something for the singles, just to help everybody in the church, move forward, grow in their faith, and have all. And we as leaders, one of the things we've got to do is do everything we can to try and meet their needs. Okay, when needs are met, I believe Christians will be happy, amen. And when Christians are happy, they go out and their joy comes out. Okay, so we're going to talk about 4 sessions. We're going to split up our entire thing into 4 different sessions. And the first one, can you see the words here?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to introduce, we're going to do session 1 and 2 today. Okay, because the way you have it spaced out. Usually I would rather just do 1 every night. Okay, just to get everything slow, not at a too quick of a pace, because you need time to absorb, all right? But because of the way it's set up, we'll, because we have 1 session tomorrow and another one on Sunday, we don't have the luxury of 4 separate sessions. So we're going to do 1 and 2 today, and then these 2 in the next 2 days. All right? Okay, let's move on. Now, one of the things we're doing here is we're using the scriptures, and we want the scriptures to come across in a way that's powerful. And one of the things we have done is to actually go about, one of the things we've done to go about it is to actually, use movie scenes. And that's tricky. It's not as easy as just going and, finding a movie clip. We actually have to get copyright from the studios in the U.S. and Britain, wherever these movies were made. and get their copyright to be able to do this, okay? So I don't want you to think, okay, great, let's go and imitate. You know, it's okay to imitate, but you got to, you know, we're surrounded by laws, okay? And intellectual property is a huge thing. You know, copyright, it's a big thing, okay? In many countries, people think copyright means I have the right to copy. No, that's not what copyright means, okay? And we as Christians, we need to be above reproach, okay? So we got the copyright and for some of these studios, and those are the scenes that we're going to be showing. In Genesis chapter 2, we read here, okay? The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." It is this one flesh. Boy, when we try to do that, it gets challenging sometimes, right? And so that's what we'll be talking about, okay? And how to have a fantastic marriage. And one of the things I want to say right at the beginning is this, okay? God expects us to really be one flesh. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't believe God wants us to have an okay marriage. I believe God wants us to have what? A great marriage. Okay? And let me say this right at the beginning. You got to make it your goal to have a great marriage. We've been married right now for about 22 years. And marriage in many ways is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I tell you what, it's a good feeling. It is a good feeling, okay? And one of the things, you know, we've had our share of fights, highs and lows and everything. But one of the things that we both made a decision right when we got married, and that is we're going to always resolve issues, and we're going to shoot to having not just an okay marriage, but a great marriage. Now, it is my belief that every one of us here, if we are spiritual, we can all have great marriages. Okay? All right, let's move on. Now, where's your marriage right now? Okay? Is it at stage one, where you're newly married? Now, how many of you are newly married here? Anyone? Okay. How many of you married between 1 to 5 years? Raise your hand. All right, 6 to 10? All right, 11 to 20? Whoa, okay. Over 20? Oh, okay, good. All right, great. And so I'm in that group as well. All right. Okay, now maybe you're in stage one where, you know what, you're still madly in love. Okay, and you don't care about whether or not the other person annoys you. You look at it as cute. Do you know what I'm saying? And everything is cute. Oh, she's so cute. And that's good. All I say is enjoy it while it lasts. Or maybe you're in stage two where you have warm feelings for each other. And this statement may ring true to you, for you and your wife. And that is, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Do you know what I'm saying? Where you love each other, but it's a different kind of love, and there's no spark there, okay? And we'll talk about that later. But or maybe you're on stage three, and this is the level we got to really, really shoot, okay? And talk, and I'm going to introduce what love connection is, and so on. I hope you're not at a point where you want to get divorced or you're thinking a lot about it. You know, as Christians, guys, we should be over that, okay? All right. Well, how do we get to these different stages? How is it that we start off being so infatuated and so madly in love, right? To the state that we're in. Well, this is what we're going to talk about. We've got to split our entire marriage phase into several different stages, okay? And I want to first of all talk about the infatuation stage, okay? And this is the stage where when you start off, you know, it's fun, all right? And you remember the stage? You can't stop daydreaming about each other. True? Okay? All right. We'll go back one slide. Okay, never mind. Just leave it. Okay. All right? And you have an aching in the heart. Isn't that true? Yes? No? No, I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about when you first met. Do you understand that? So, don't worry about now. We'll come back to where you're at now later on. But remember when you first met, how you felt about each other. Okay, there was a buoyancy in that relationship, right? You felt like you were walking on air. True? Yes. All right? And there was an inability to be interested in someone else. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you are so fixated. Everything else, all your troubles in life just completely disappeared. It just seemed so small by comparison. Do you know what I'm saying? So, just to bring back some good old memories, I want you to see some scenes that really bring out this infatuation stage that we all go through. Okay? All right.
So, maybe some of you saw the romantic comedy called P.S. I Love You. It was the kind where you cry a lot, though, because someone died, but we won't go into that right now. But very nice movie, and the guy is Irish. Americans have a fixation on Irish people. So, the girl's American, the guy's Irish. And in this scene, she's traveling in Ireland as a young single woman, and she meets this guy for the first time. And so, later on in the movie, what he does is he's telling her, he's reminding her of their early moments. And so you can hear him doing a voiceover, and he's talking to her about what it was like when they first met and first got that infatuation.
All right, so when the movie is on, the lights will go off, okay? All right, so everybody, let's get... And the reason why I want to start off with marriage, in a marriage workshop with this, is because we all have such fond memories like this, okay? Now, usually what I like to do at this point is this. Is to show you maybe a couple more, and then I'll give you a little exercise. All right? Okay. Okay. And maybe this one will also bring you memories.
Made a lot.
And can't wait to get married. What if your parents? For some of you, your parents were against it. Okay? You know what I'm saying? But did it matter? No. You were so rock solid and determined to make this relationship go awesome, okay? And that's what I mean about infatuation. Now, I want to tell you something about infatuation, okay? And that's this. Do you know how long infatuation lasts? 18 months to 3 years. That's it. And I've done my readings on it. There are research that have been shown, okay, done by different people, by different universities, and this is how long infatuation lasts. 18 months to what? 3 years. Now, is that good news or bad news? See that? You see, we all go through the infatuation period, okay? And I believe God created us so that infatuation will not last. This is not just true for people in the West. This is across board. Across board, infatuation only lasts anywhere from about 18 months to 3 years. And then... Now, why do I believe that's good? Because you imagine if infatuation lasted forever. How would you cope with your responsibilities? You go to work, you can't even concentrate. Do you know what I'm saying? When you have kids and you're still totally infatuated with each other, how are you going to be as parents? You see what I'm saying? You see, here's the thing. God knows what He's doing. But the challenge is this, after the infatuation period, what do we do? You see, here's a little diagram that I drew. We all start with infatuation, okay? Then, every one of us, okay, if we're not careful, we slip into this mode. affectionate regard. You know what that mode is? That's the mode where you love your spouse, but you're not in love with her. You're still in love. You love her the way you love your sibling. Do you all love your sibling? Well, for the most part, yes. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if they need you to help out, will you be there? Yes. Will you be there to protect them? Yes. If they need little money, will you be there? Yes. But are you in love with them? No. Do you see what I'm saying? That is the affectionate regard. And for some couples, after they finish the infatuation stage, they go to this stage, and this stage lasts a long time. Many people even they end up dying. If one of them die, they go to the grave being in this affectionate regard phase. For some of us, after this, if we're not careful, it'll lead to a breakdown. It'll lead to a breakdown. But what we got to do as married, we've got to, at this point, okay, when we start slipping, we got to make a decision to get into what we call here the love connection stage. And I tell you this, if you do it right, in this workshop, it's all about how to develop that love connection stage. If you do it, and let me say this, it's better than the infatuation stage. This is the phase that God wants you to be in. This one doesn't last up to 3 years. This one will last, has the potential to go on and on. And the longer it goes, the deeper and more mature your relationship becomes. You understand? Okay? Right, so we're going to talk about this. Here's the bad thing though. Hollywood, brings out this whole idea that you have to be in the infatuation stage all the time. And unless you are in that phase, there's no such a thing as love. And that is a myth. That is a complete myth. That's why a lot of them, their marriages don't last. You look at the world, that's the message that's coming across very strong. If you don't have that, if you're not in that infatuation stage, then you know what? Your intimacy is not really, really there. Okay? What is love connection? I want to show you a scene from the movie Forrest Gump. You've seen this movie, many of you. This is a time when Forrest has been pursuing his long-lost girlfriend for years. I mean, this is like longer than the three-year period. He goes after her, he's really in love with her, and finally they get married. And even though he has known Jenny for such a long time, I want you to see how he still feels about her, to give you a little taste of what it's like to be in the love connection phase. Okay? He's known her for quite a few years. But you know what? That intimacy was real. Do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't a nice word that Forrest was just saying. That's the kind of feelings we've got to develop with each other, okay? And it's so sad because many of us, we get so content being in the affectionate regard phase. And we settle with that because we think, you know what? Well, if we're in this phase, we still like each other. We don't want to get divorced. But you know what? Is there a love connection? There isn't. And so the challenge is for us to really move, okay, away from this affectionate regard phase into the love connection phase.
So I'm going to show a scene. I'm skipping some of the movie since we're shortening it tonight because we're doing two in one night. But I want to show you one scene from this movie. This movie is called I Think I Love My Wife. It's hysterically funny. It has Chris Rock, who's a comedian, Unfortunately, it's also R-rated and very raunchy with lots of terrible jokes and bad words. So we picked out the best parts we could because the message of it is awesome. The message of the movie is that there's a really, you know, kind of a worldly, sophisticated guy who really wants to be a great husband and be faithful to his wife. So I actually like the message of that movie. But anyway, in the scene I'm going to show you, you know, they're both parents, they're both working, they're both exhausted, and they're just, with all their tiredness and whatnot, especially on the wife's side, they're just kind of stuck in the affectionate regard.
That's the affectionate regard phase. You know what I'm saying? You're together, but it's not that love connection phase that we saw previously in Forrest Gump. Okay? And I'm telling you, if you are not careful, if you don't nurture this marriage, it will get into the breakdown phase. It's a question of time, okay?
Now, I'm not sure if you would have seen this movie. It came out at least 10 years ago, but John and I really love this film. It's called The Story of Us, Bruce Willis and Michelle Pfeiffer. And so it's about a couple that's been together for 15 years. They have teens, and they've hit that affectionate regard plateau, and then they've just neglected their marriage so much that they have really gone through the breakdown phase. And in this scene, they're contemplating, well, we're just going to see the loss of intimacy, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay. Okay, so a lot of people, they still stay together because of the kids. This is what I see a lot. You know, some people, they're like, well, we can't do anything. We're stuck right now. We have to stay together because if we don't stay together, you know what? Our kids will suffer. One of the things that my wife and I believe is this, that one of the best gifts, okay, a father can give to the children is to love their mother. It's one of the best gifts you can give them. If you think we can have a lousy marriage, but that's okay, as long as we're physically together, then it really won't affect the kids. Just like in that scene, I'm telling you, you have no idea the damage that will actually do to your kids. I mean, think about it. When you were growing up, and when you were really young, did you notice if your mom and dad were getting along? Right? They made the same assumption that some of us are maybe making right now. Oh, they're too young. They don't really know. But you did, didn't you? Right? You did. So we got to make every effort, okay, to make sure we are not in this affectionate regard phase, but that we are really going to go into the love connection phase, okay? You talk about breakdown, okay? Let's see if this scene is also very, very something that rings true to your own marriage, okay? Let's watch this. You think a poor marriage will affect your parenting? Don't kid yourself and think, oh, you know what? As long as we're together physically, it doesn't matter. The kids will be secure. The kids will be secure when there is love connection between the husband and wife. Okay? So can we change to the love connection stage even if we're in the affectionate regard? Absolutely. Okay? And that's what it's all about. You know, in the book of Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6 to 7, I really love this verse. It says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. That's the kind of love connection that needs to exist between husband and wife. Okay? And I believe this is God's plan for marriages. Now, what's the big difference between love connection and infatuation? I'm going to outline you the differences. I want you to really, really pay special attention. Here's the big difference. in the infatuation stage, you don't need any motivation. It's all natural. I say this, you are on autopilot. True? Did anyone have to remind you to write a card? Nope. Did anyone have to remind you to make the call? Nope. You understand? Did anyone have to remind you about the date? Nope. Make the reservations? Nope. Bring the tartar sauce? Nope. That is the infatuation stage. You don't need any reminders. You are so naturally motivated. But here is the sad state of affairs. Once you're through that stage, you then have a choice. Either you go on the affectionate regard or the love connection stage. But the love connection stage needs effort, unlike the infatuation stage. Okay? The love connection stage needs what? Effort. On both parts. And if you don't do your part, you're going to slip into affectionate regard. So many people, okay, here's why you need to make the effort. This is the kind of like the stage we go through. When we first are in the infatuation stage, we're even attracted to the differences. Isn't that true? Right? We love how different we are. Isn't that true? You may be so focused at your work, your partner may be so carefree, and you're like, oh, that's so cute. Right? And you say things like, you know what? Oh, this person is really good for me. They will balance me out. True or not? Yes. Okay? Then, as time goes by, you're also aware of the similarity. Just aware. As more time goes by, then you realize, well, there are some differences. Then you go to the phase where not only are you aware, then you ignore the difference. Then you resent the difference. Then you attack and defend the differences. Then you hate the differences. Now look at this. You hate the difference, you attract the difference. Isn't that true? Karen and I, when we counsel people, it's amazing to me how many couples, after getting married 10, 15 years, here's what they say. This guy is so irresponsible. My question is, I always ask them this, well, did you know that, you know, that he was a bit more carefree and happy-go-lucky when you were dating him? And their response is this, yeah, I thought that was good for me. I thought that was the thing to do. You know, he'll balance me out. You see what I'm saying? But then what happens? They actually end up resenting those differences. I know, you know, couples where one is a lot more educated than the other, but during the dating stage, they're like, oh, this is fun. You know, between us, will be a lot more well-rounded. Well, after 5-10 years, you're like, who in the world did I get married to? This guy cannot even balance a checkbook. Do you know what I'm saying? You end up resenting the differences. So this is why infatuation goes well, because you look at the differences and you're still attracted to it. You think it's cute. But after the 3-year period maximum is over, you got a choice. And now if you want to stay connected, man, it takes effort. And we don't do it, then we slip into affectionate regard. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Okay? Now, in the UK, the average length of a marriage, it's about 11.3 years. In Singapore, it's a little below that. It's across board. Median age of divorce, male is around 40, female 36. Median age of first marriage, 29. female 27. So you add 10, you get to about that. So in the world, marriages last maximum, on average, 10 years. Now people say, aha, but that's funny. You said infatuation is 3 years. Then how come they don't, you know, separate on the fourth year? That's because a lot of people keep trying. You understand? From the third year to the ninth year, people keep trying. They try and try and try and try. And on the tenth year, generally people say, this is it. I can't take it anymore. For some of us, here's the thing I feel sad about people at church. People at church, they realize this. Oh, I can't get a divorce because the Bible is against it. So, you know what? Forget divorce. But you settle for affectionate regard. So, let me ask you this. If your faith is so real, then is that what your faith is going to settle for? So, you know what I'm saying? You're letting your faith say, you know what? I'm going to settle for affectionate regard. Don't do that. You've got to have the kind of faith that says, you know what? I want love connection. Amen? All right, let's go on. Now, I'll say this, okay? You can resurrect that relationship. You know how long it takes? 3 to 4 weeks. If you make effort. If you make effort.
So we're going to close off the section of this talk that's about infatuation and love connection with a scene from that same movie we showed you where the parents were just staying together because of the kids. In that movie, they decided to get a divorce, and they were contemplating how to tell their children. Their children have been away at camp for 2 months, and they've been separated, and they decided to go for the divorce. So they've talked about how they're going to do it, and they've decided they'll take their kids out to... At first, they wanted to take them to their favorite Chinese restaurant, but then they thought, no, that's not a good place to tell our kids we're getting a divorce. We better go home and have the dinner at home, not at the restaurant called Chow Funds, okay? You're going to see a little bit about that. So anyway, while they're driving to this place where they're picking up the kids from camp, the mom, the wife, starts having second thoughts about the divorce as she remembers the good times and the bad. And we'll see what happens here.
Conclude our first session with that, because no matter where you're at, you got to have hope. You got to have hope that your marriage can turn around. If you're a Christian and you're sitting here thinking, you know what, all I want to do is settle for affectionate regard. If I can make it to the finish line and not divorce, boy, I deserve a trophy. All I gotta say is, you have such a low expectation for your marriage. And that's not fun. Do you know what I'm saying? If you watch that whole movie, I tell you, what they went through, it wasn't fun. But when you make a decision, we are going to have a great marriage. You move from affectionate regard into what? Love connection. And I tell you, that feeling, that depth is better than infatuation. Do you know what I'm saying? It's deep. It's that feeling you have. And even when you travel, I can tell couples that have this, even when the husband travels for work, he's thinking about her. There are some people I know, they're glad to travel. They're like, boy, man, I'm looking forward to that break. Do you know what I'm saying? And if you're in that stage, let me tell you know what you're in? Which phase you're in? Affectionate regard. You don't nurture it, it's going to break down. But remember the big difference, the essential difference between infatuation and love connection. What's that? One is autopilot. If you want love connection, both of you have to make a decision. All right, I'll have to make effort every day in my marriage. So in the second session, we're going to talk about what do you need to make effort in. Okay? What do you need to make effort in so that you can get into which phase? The love connection phase. All right? So in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says this: wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything, and the wife must what? Respect her husband. Similarly, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Okay? The key word there is husbands ought to love. So I want to focus on this. Husbands, you need to love your wives. Wives, you need to respect your husband. So basically, you know, what I found through my own experience and through years of helping people, you know, marriages and counseling them, men and women, essentially, we have different needs. You know what I'm saying? We do. Sometimes, you know, you find couples where the woman have more the needs of the men and vice versa, okay? But still, essentially, we're different beings. We have different needs. And when needs are not met, here's the issue. Here's how I always approach marriage. When your needs are not met, your marriage will break down. It will slip into affectionate regard, and then it will break down. Okay? So, here's the thing we got to realize. What do you need to make effort in? You, as a husband, okay, you've got to make effort to love your wives. And we'll spell that out. We'll spell it and get you to see exactly what that means. Likewise, wives need to respect the husband. These are needs. William Harley wrote this book. I don't know if you've read this. His Needs, Her Needs. I want to encourage you, if your marriage is in the affectionate regard stage, you want to learn more about this, you pick that book up and read. Because it's an excellent book. And if you can approach your marriage right now based on what needs am I not meeting, you will really get to the root. Because often people, what they do is they focus on just the issues. They you know what I'm saying? They don't get to the root. They just focus on the arguments. They focus on the differences. But they don't go deep and focus on what the need really is. Okay? So let me give you one example of a scene taken from P.S. I Love You. Watch how they argue. And they go round and round and round and round in circles. And then after that, I want us to go back and reflect and talk about the needs that were not met. Okay? Which would be a lot better if both were aware of them. Because then you could address the need. What would you say? Do you know what I'm saying? And often we would say this, okay, to the guy, what did you say to the mother? Oh, you shouldn't say that. You need to be more sensitive, right? And then to her, what would we say? Well, you shouldn't what? Overreact. Calm down, right? La-di-da-di-da-di-da. You know what? You can approach your marriage and your tiffs like that. I tell you what, though, you don't get to the root. You don't get to the root, okay? Let me show you what I mean. Let's go on to the next slide. Okay? There are needs here. Okay? All right, next one. All right? Men, and I'm going to just outline several. Three. I'm going to bring three needs men have and three needs women have. Okay? Men feel respected. The Bible says women, the wives should respect the husband. Men feel respected when their wives show admiration. Number two, when they provide sexual fulfillment. And number three, when they take an interest in them. True, brothers?
Yes.
Yes. Women, let's go to the next one. Women feel loved when husbands are affectionate. When husbands are honest, right? Not living some kind of double life, right? And flirting around with someone else you don't even know about. Do you know what I'm saying? Just being honest. And number three, flat out responsible. True or not, sisters?
Yes.
Now, go to that scene right now. That scene we just watched. What needs were not met there? First, they were talking, you know, she was walking like that. Right? And then as they were going in circles, something came out. She said, I don't want to live in this kind of a, what? Apartment. Why did she feel she wasn't ready to have a baby? Because the apartment was too small. And she wants to move out, right? She's a real estate agent. She shows all her clients bigger apartments. She's like, why can't I get a bigger apartment? Why? Because the husband, she feels, was not responsible. See that? She was like, and that business loan you took, poop, poop, poop. Do you see that? That argument from what did you say in front of my mother? Sort of zigzagged its way into a business loan. Do you see that? What did she want? She felt he wasn't like this. And it flat ticked her off. Now, his need, when she started to criticize him about his lone business partner, right? Have you noticed the first part of the argument? He was kind of trying to dig out. He wasn't mad, right? The minute she said, and that business thing of yours, he just flat hit the roof. You see that? Respect and love. Isn't God wise? That's why marriage manual in the Bible is so simple. Respect, love. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is where the problem comes. Both sides look at the other needs and say, ah, that's not important. The men look at the needs for women and say, you want what affection? Whoa, whoop-de-doo. What's the big deal? Do you know what I'm saying? Honest, come on. I need my space. I need my privacy. Responsible, hey, chill out. Women look at men's and say, show admiration. Why the heck should I admire him? He's a dodo head anyway. I'll admire him when there's something worth admiring him for. Sexual fulfillment? Nah. I'm too hurt. Take an interest? No way. No way. I'll take an interest when he starts helping out with the kids. You see what I'm saying? So both sides end up looking down on the other person's, what? Needs. So, in other words, what they're saying is, my needs as a guy is more important than her needs as a woman. So I go around thinking this, you meet my need. Understand? She goes around thinking, you meet my need. But they don't understand. To get the love connection, you have to make effort to meet each other's needs. Do you see that? And I tell you, this is the difference between the infatuation and the love connection phase. This one, there's just chemistry. Some kind of chemicals like dopamine is getting released. And you just get all psyched up. You're not even interested in your need. Do you know what I'm saying? You're not. You're just infatuated. Even though she doesn't meet your need, you're like, it's cute. She's so... I like the fact that she's a little bit innocent. we make all kinds of excuses for the other person. That's why, you know, the saying, love is blind, there's a lot of truth in that. In the infatuation stage, when he doesn't show up on time, you're like, oh, he's cute. Oh, you know what? He's so dedicated to his work. I really appreciate that. After getting married for 5 years, you're like, what kind of a guy is he? He doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Take my time seriously. You see what I'm saying? This is the thing. In the love connections phase, you've got to make effort to meet those needs. You understand that? You really, really is true, okay? And if you don't meet needs, then what happens? You know what? Your relationship will be completely shallow. In fact, you will avoid argument. You will move towards avoiding. You know what I'm saying? You'll move. And because you don't want to talk. Because you know, the minute you talk, you'll fight. So what do? You settle for this affectionate regard, low expectation. Okay? Just like what we're about to see. All right, let's watch this.
Honor.
When needs are not met. Isn't that true? You get tired of fighting. Just during that scene, what needs were not met? She kept saying something. What was it? You're not. He said, now, I apologize for the bad language, but I can't edit that part because of copyright issues, okay? But he felt she was too critical. Respect, love. Finally, they got so tired. Fine, fine, fine. So, we have dinner, we don't talk. Stay together for the kids. Low expectation. Tell you what, you're treading on thin ice if you're in that kind of a state. Okay? And if you don't make effort and you think, okay, let's not work on this, let's just focus on the kids, or let's focus on the work, on focus on some joint project we're doing together, then this is what the marriage will look like.
When
you don't meet each other's needs, you push it aside, things get superficial. Things get superficial. Okay? Then you get distracted and you focus on other things. And some people take up a new hobby. Isn't that true? Marriage is kind of stale, so what do the husbands do? Let's do something else. Get a sports car. Let's learn about engines. Let's learn about IT. Right? Make new friends. Sometimes we tolerate all that kind of stuff just because of our religious conviction. And sometimes we have an affair. What is an affair? I tell you, here's the thing. I want to spell out what is an affair. An affair is when a physical relationship that combines sexual activity and or intercourse. We all know that. But this is what a lot of people don't know. An affair is also when there are emotional feelings of love with each other. Not with your wife or husband, but with someone else. And you may only do this and not this. And you think, you know what? I'm not having an affair. Go to any good, credible marriage resources. And that's how they define an affair. Now, if all you're doing is B and not A, all I can say is B is easier to give up than A. But better still, not do B. You understand that? Okay? Yeah. Now, I'm not talking about lust. That's different. Men will struggle with lust a lot more than women. An emotional affair is different. An emotional affair is when you are fixated on one person, as opposed to general lust that comes in. Do you know what I'm saying? That, I think, men will struggle till the day they die. But an emotional affair, though, is different. That's not the same thing. That's you getting fixated on someone. And you are manipulating ways to spend time. You love it when you have that chemistry with her. Because, you know why? She is now meeting your needs, not your wife. The reverse is also true. Women that go off and have an emotional affair with someone else, it's because now their needs are getting met by someone else. So marriage, I'm telling you, to make a marriage great, so many times, okay, when we counsel people, they don't even know the needs of their spouse. And so ignorance and lack of training are the number one issues why marriages fail. I am blown away by how little pre-marriage counseling couples get. How casual people take that. This is the kind of stuff you got to learn before you enter into marriage. What are her needs? What are my needs? Do you know what I'm saying? People don't know. Some people, after getting married for 20 years, they're like, well, I didn't know that. Duh. So, lack of training. Okay? So, and ignorance. Now let's talk about the needs. Women, let's start with the women, okay? Women's first need is what? Affection. I'll let my wife talk about it.
I think for us as women, you know, affection can take so many different forms. So it can mean affection, like when he holds our hand or gives us a back rub, like it says there. It can mean giving us flowers or cards also. It can mean so many things. It basically means being considerate. You know, showing that they care about our needs. And I think a lot of times for women nowadays, a lot of us are working moms, and we treasure that even more. We really need to feel that our husband is being considerate of us, because like we've seen in some of these video clips, we do feel exhausted sometimes. And so we really need that consideration. Now, in this particular scene, it's from a movie called The Waitress. The actress is playing a pie chef, okay? Not like shepherd's pie or chicken pie, but the American kind of pie where they have all different flavors of dessert pies, like cherry pie, apple pie, and all that. So she is, in this movie, she's a pie chef who is married to a guy who's a jerk. You're going to see him in just a minute. And she's very sad about her life, and she's now pregnant with his child, and she's a little bit nervous about that too. But lo and behold, the guy she goes to as her gynecologist is this really handsome, sweet, loving guy, and she ends up falling in love with him. So part of the reason we're showing this to the husbands here is watch out, because if you don't show affection to your wife, she might get it from someone else. We're certainly not saying, wives, if your husband isn't affectionate, go and like your doctor. Okay? We promise we don't mean that. that's not the right message. So, but what we are showing is that if, you know, it's important for women to learn, for men to learn to show affection and consideration to their wives. So, even though this is a bad, you know, boyfriend doing it, not the husband, but it's a great example of how to show affection and consideration to the woman that you love.
Of affection. You know, men, we look at this and we look at affection, we're like, what's the big deal? You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, the minute we hug, then we want something else. And the wives usually get so used to it, the minute the husband hugs, they're like, I know what you want. I'm talking about just straight, nothing complicated, just affection. See that? For women, that's a big thing. And it's not just the hugs. It's, you know, do you think about them? Do you send text messages, for example, just to say what? Not, hey, can you make sure I have curry for dinner? Do you know what I'm saying? But I'm thinking about you. A card, not because it's a birthday, but because you're thinking. It goes a long way. Infatuation, this is autopilot. Love connection, you make what? Effort. You make effort. Affection goes a long way. And I got to tell you this, okay? If another guy hugs your wife the way he did, well, first of all, you shouldn't let that happen. But if that happens, how will she feel towards him? And that's why people commit affairs. It's not because the guy is rich or he's handsome. It's sometimes it's because the guy is meeting her need. Are you with me, everybody? Okay, understand, needs is what we've got to be looking at. Okay? Giving attention, listening when they're talking. These are all ways we show and meet the need of affection.
Now, this is a movie called When a Man Loves a Woman, and it has Andy Garcia and Meg Ryan. And in this movie, she plays an alcoholic who, at this point in the film, she's come back from going away for rehab. She's been away for a month or two for rehab. And she's now completely sober, but she needs her friends from her 12-step program to help her and to talk to her every day. And the husband's a pilot, and he hasn't really figured out that he's not been meeting her needs. So we're going to just show you what happens when the husband's not listening to her, but other people are listening.
What was the issue? She wanted him to give her time, affection. You see what I'm saying? Listen. But he didn't. He's a busy pilot. He's giving all his attention to his work. When he's at home, he's kind of stoned. Do you know what I'm saying? She meets a guy who gives her eye contact, talks to her. What you're struggling, what is life, la-di-da. She has a great connection. Why? He met her need. That's it. It's as simple as that. Okay? Right? Yeah. There are men that absolutely act like that. Okay? And it's very one way. You understand? That's not affection. Okay? That is not affection. That's a guy who loves himself and has only one objective every day. I want her to meet who? My needs. Okay? People cite fatigue as an excuse. But here's the thing. I want to challenge every couple. This is what I say to people in our region. Husband and wives, you got to spend 10 hours of undivided time every week. Don't roll your eyes. You may say, you've got to be joking. No, it's doable. Let me tell you how I split it up. 1 hour a day, Monday to Friday. Monday to Saturday. How many hours is that? 6. Then you go on a date once a week. Do you understand that? That's another 3 to 4 hours. What does it add up to? 10. Doable. But you know what? I see couples again and again. You know what? They refuse to spend this time. What they want is come to my session, get a pill, and go away, change. In love connection, you've got to make effort. When you spend that 1 hour, right at the end of the day, kids are in bed, you spend that 1 hour, wind down together. No TV, no handphones, no computer. I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. If you don't want to, welcome to affectionate regard. You got no one else to blame but yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? It takes effort, but it's not impossible. It's little things like this that we do every day that really builds our relationship. Okay? Now, second need. We talked about the first need, which is what? Affection. For men, it's what? Admiration. You know what? When we had this workshop in London, in Singapore, we had almost 1,000 there. I don't know, 800 to 1,000. I gave all the men a sheet, and I said, I want you to rank which is the most important need. Okay? Sex, respect, take an interest, whatever. Most of them said the number one need is respect. It's true. The Bible is true. Okay? Let's go on. Here is I'm going to show more about this on Sunday. But this is a counselor by the name of Dr. Gary Newman. And he appeared in Oprah. And he wrote a book called The Truth About Cheating. In other words, Why Men Cheat. And he has this to say. Okay, I want you to watch
that. You say,
as a wife, the thing, when John and I first saw this show 6 months ago, the thing that convicted me the most was what Dr. Newman said about appreciating your husband for the things they're supposed to be doing. Because I think a lot of times I feel that I'm busy, and maybe I feel that I don't get, you know, enough appreciation for some of those things, right? We usually feel that we don't get an appreciation. So anyway, I don't necessarily then go out of my way to show appreciation to John when he's doing something that I think he should be doing anyway. Well, John pays all the bills. I don't touch the finances. Well, that's his job. Well, you know, John takes the kids out to, you know, when they were a little bit younger to play hide and seek with them. Well, good, he should. He's better be a good dad. You know? So, in a way, he's just doing awesome. He's being a great husband, great provider, great caretaker, great dad, everything awesome. And I'm sitting there going, well, is Christian supposed to be like Jesus? Of course he should do that. Poor guy. You know? So when is he ever going to get appreciated? And I think that's what a lot of men end up feeling. Now, the wives are sitting there going, well, I'm bending over backwards too. But as Dr. Newman just said, if the wife is giving the husband the appreciation, hopefully then that's going to return back to her anyway. So I was very convicted about that, and I felt like that, to me, was one of the biggest lessons I learned, was make sure I appreciate John for the things he's supposed to be doing.
Okay. So God knows what he was talking about when he inspired Paul to write Ephesians 5. Next need for women, honesty.
So, again, you know, we've mentioned how women don't like things to be hidden, but men sometimes insist on their so-called privacy. Now, when we get married, we are supposed to be becoming one flesh. So, as far as I know, there's not really any provision in there for privacy. I mean, there may be privacy, you know, a little bit when you go to the bathroom or whatever, but in terms of keeping emails from one another, keeping the state of your finances from one another, keeping, you know, your appointments with other people from one another, I can't think why, especially as a Christian, there would ever be a need for that. And yet a lot of men do it, and it's very hurtful to the wives. The wives feel betrayed, and it just doesn't work. So in this scene from that movie that we've been watching off and on, the wife
of honesty can really, really hurt. And I have seen this so many times in relationships, okay? When husbands at work, you go out with another woman for lunch. Do you know what I'm saying? And you say it's just work. When you travel, you spend an extensive amount of time with someone of the opposite sex. You need to be open about it. Some of us, we get very, very defensive. Women feel loved when men are honest and transparent. Not just about relationship. What about your finances? You got secret savings, another account. You're saving for something else. You are not honest about it. I tell you what, your wife will feel hurt. because one of her need is to submit to a man who is honest. If wives are called to be submissive, you know what? You want to be submissive if the guy is honest. Is it easy to be submissive to someone whom you feel is not honest? You got to think about that, okay? All right, next one. Take an interest. Sisters, if you can take an interest in the men. A lot of the husbands are working. So I want to ask you, sisters, do you know who his boss is? No, they just call me boss. Yeah, but who is he? What kind of guy is he? Do you know his name? You know what I'm saying? What type of work does he do? I'm talking about your husband. Oh, he's just in a bank. Yeah, but what does he do in the bank? I am amazed how little some wives know. What kind of tension goes on? You know what I'm saying? By just taking an interest, he will feel respected. He'll feel like, wow, she's taking an interest in me.
In this scene from the Chris Rock movie, he has a woman at work who's really flirting with him, but he really wants to be a good husband. So he decides, I want to spend some great time with my wife. And he decides, instead of having their usual date night with just some of their other married friends, he wants to do something special. So he takes her somewhere thinking he's going to get to look at some things that he wants to look at that he hasn't had a chance to see. And let's see what happens.
Likes cars, you know what I'm saying? He just wanted to go and check it out. He was probably not going to buy it, but you know what I'm saying? It's a guy thing. But did she get it? No. She was like, let's go to the minivan. You see what I'm saying? And when women don't take interest like that, I tell you what, they just lose that connection. And if another woman showed that interest, what do you think that'll do to that relationship? You got to think that. If someone else is willing to go with your husband and show an interest, what would that do? You've got to remember, showing an interest is a need.
Now this is, instead of a bad example, this one is a good example. So I don't know if you saw this movie. It's quite silly, but it's very fun. It's called Wild Hogs, and it's about four middle-aged men who decide to take Harley-Davidson motorcycles and drive across the United States. And in this case, one of the men is kind of scared to go. He's been playing it safe a long time, and he needs a little encouragement. And his wife says, hey, you need to go. This is going to be good for you. So just look at how she meets his need and takes an interest in his life.
Let's move on. And there's just lots of things people can do together. Lots of things. Okay? So, take an interest. Now, men shouldn't take it too far. Well, you take an interest to the point that you don't meet her needs. Do you know what I'm saying? Then, out goes affection, out goes honesty, and out goes responsibility. Then you're back to square one. You're back to the affectionate regard stage. All right, the last need for men, sexual fulfillment, that one will be treated separately. We'll talk about that on Sunday. Okay? So that's it for tonight. Okay? We'll talk about the needs. Men have needs, women have needs. Now, some women actually have some of the needs that men have, and that does not mean you're weird. Or some men have the kind of needs that women have. That also doesn't mean you're weird. Sometimes we're a little different. That's okay. These are just, we're talking in general terms here, okay? Generally, men have needs like this, women as well. And so what we got to do in order to build that love connection is to meet each other's needs. That is the real, real challenge that we have in order to move away from the affectionate regard into the love connection state, okay? So that's it. Please, come again tomorrow. Saturday, right? And then we'll go through session 3, and then Sunday we'll do session 4. All right? So, in conclusion, what's the difference between infatuation and love connection? How long does infatuation last?
18 months.
3 years. That's it. 3 years. If you don't do anything, what phase do you fall into? Affection, regard. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Don't have a low expectation, but let's have high expectation and have a great marriage. Thank you, everybody. Amen.